There's just something about seeing the young people up here, especially the little bitty ones. Of course, for most of us, when we graduated, there was no such thing as a graduation from kindergarten or graduation from eighth grade. But you know what? Maybe it's a good thing, especially in today's society where more times than not, they're put down rather than encouraged. So I believe it's a wonderful thing. Before we begin, I want us to look at the prayer request that we have. I've got on here Miss Okra, the Babcock family, Rhea, Cherokee, Pat Downey and family, Shelby Babcock for salvation. I believe that's Myron for healing. Of course, Pastor Jerry and Laverne, Rerun, Tommy Gray, good report and healing, Dimple Buck for healing. Looks like Robert and I don't know if that's Donnie for salvation, Joe Lemons for healing, Tina and Benny, Natalie's lack of sleeping, Alan Williams for healing, 7-year-old Kevin for healing, and there's a 7-year-old named Raven who needs healing. I'm sorry? Oh, okay. She suddenly went totally blind and is now cross-eyed. So, folks, I tell you what, the devil is on his job and we need to get about ours. Amen. Other prayer requests?
My mama, Frankie goes, but she needs healing.
Okay. Yes? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Absolutely. I can't tell you how important that is, folks. If you don't get out and vote, you really don't have an excuse to complain. Amen. So make your presence known and vote according to your beliefs. Anyone else? Let's go ahead and if you're able, go ahead and stand up as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you that we still live in a country where we can come together in your name. Father, you've seen them and heard the many prayer requests. You know the circumstances of each and every situation. But we know that you are the God who heals. We know that you are the God who answers prayers. And we ask you, Father, to intercede in each and every situation. We ask that you strengthen those who need strength, heal those who need healing. Lord, we ask that you just encourage those who need courage. Most of all, Lord, we pray salvation for those who do not know you. We pray for our pastors. Lord, we know that they are under a spiritual attack. And we ask you now, Father, move in a mighty way that even the doctors will be mystified. They will be confused over the quick healing and the prompt change in his condition, that they will once again return home safely to glorify your name. We thank you for this day. We ask that you take complete control of this service. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I think it's interesting that as I came in today and started reading the handout from Pastor Laverne, the scriptures that are being used, you know. Dare to believe. Have courage. Have audacity to do something. Challenge someone. You know, these are all things that she gave the scriptures for, and it ties in so much with the sermon that we're going to have today. I know the pastor is very disappointed that he couldn't be here, but he said that the cuisine at the hospital was just too good, and he just wanted to stay for a few extra meals. And besides, his monthly allotment of being poked and prodded was not quite full, so he wanted to get that out of the way before the month was over. But on a serious note, folks, please lift up our pastors. It is so important that we do that. As we honored the graduates and their families, one can only think of our own experiences after graduation. And then it happens. Reality sets in. At that point, we have to choose a path for the future. Will it be college? Will it be a job? Whatever the case may be. Maybe it's an adventure. For many, you may decide to go on that adventure that you've always wanted to go on, you always dreamed of. Perhaps it's a trip to some exotic island. If it is, obviously your graduation present was much bigger than mine was. Perhaps it's an adventure walking the Appalachian Trail. Take me with you. Okay, that's all I can ask. Or maybe, well, let's think about that for a second. The Appalachian Trail, that would be quite an adventure. To take 4 to 6 months of your life walking up hills and down, back up hills and down. Did I mention the hills? And think, being alone for that amount of time, you'll meet people. But the rain, you know, the average rainfall during your 4 to 6 month excursion is usually between 70 and 90 days. So I hope you like rain. And don't forget, no more eating out at McDonald's. So again, think about this. And remember we talked about the graduation gift? They better have been good because you're looking at $1 to $3 per mile. All 2,175 miles of it. So, and did I mention the bears? Maybe you're more goal-oriented and you've decided to go to college. I applaud you for that. And I can guarantee you that it's much easier to go right after high school than it is to try to restart. Take that from someone who tried to restart at 45. It's more difficult in many ways. But yet, in other ways, it's actually easier. I don't have the same pressures that you do, trying to adapt and fit in. It is difficult for young people today. You know, for many, the whole college experience is about getting away and spreading your wings and defining who you are. But I want to tell you something. We need to be cautious in getting out and spreading our wings and defining who you are. Everything we've read so far about in the scriptures, in the handouts, and what Ricardo was saying, people are watching you. Are you going to try to fit in with everybody else, or are you going to do what's right? That's the question you have to decide. It's so important that you just define who you are before you ever get in the situation. And the reason I say that is, let's think about this young man in history. He was a small lad, and he spent much time alone. In fact, he was a
We're playing musical microphones here, so. But we're talking about David, the little boy, little shepherd boy, who often was alone at night with the animals, yet he had a spirit about him, and that spirit was a love for Almighty God. We all know the story. We can condense it, but I'm going to drag it out, so just deal with it. When you get the microphone, you can do it your way. But I think it's when you sit and you look at the whole situation, how David had built up his faith in God through his time alone. Folks, I want to tell you, I don't know about you. Jody will be the first one to tell you. I can't stand being alone. But yet there's other times I love being alone. But she says, you are the only person I know who has to have noise. Whether it's you talking or television on, radio or something, you have to have noise. But yet I can get out in the middle of the woods and I love the peace. I love the wind blowing through the trees and I feel God there. But David, he built that relationship in those times of being alone. And you know what? So many of our young people today feel alone in a crowded room. That's because they don't have that solid relationship with God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read about the armies of the Philistines who had encamped near the Valley of Elah, which was where the army of Saul was. And every day, they would send their champion, Goliath, to go out and taunt the armies of Israel. Now, let's face it. He was a giant. He was not of normal proportions. And he was a man who battled since his childhood. Yes, the men feared him. Not only because of his size, but because of all those whom he had already defeated. So it's a normal thought pattern. Self-preservation. You go fight him. I'm not going to fight him. No, you go fight him. No, he's calling you out, not me. And in the end, what happened? Nobody did. So as he taunted the armies of Israel, and he kept calling them, come on, send your best out. I've got something waiting for him. Send them out. Just him and me, and whoever wins will be the, we'll take the rest as slaves. Come on, send him on over. And what were those brave soldiers of Israel doing? Hiding behind the rocks. You don't see me? You're not going to call me out. Here, call him. He's still standing up. But the fact is, here was this small shepherd boy whom his father said, you know, take this bread and this cheese and take it to your brothers who are fighting. Fighting. Were they fighting? I don't think there was any fighting going on. I think they were fighting their emotions. Why? Because they did not have faith that God would fight the battle for them. Folks, I want to tell you something. God will fight the battles for us if we will have the faith. So as David took these items to the battlefront and he gave these items to the caretaker and said, let me go up and see on my check on my brothers. And then out comes Goliath. And again, he taunts the armies of Israel. David stood and listened to this giant of a man taunt and degrade and belittle the armies of Israel. Now, David did not look at it from the viewpoint that you need to go out and do that because of Israel. It wasn't about Israel. David was concerned. In fact, if you have your Bibles, let's turn over to 1 Samuel. chapter 17. Chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give him his father's house, exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David. Now, who was David? Oh, the little shepherd boy. Not the mighty warrior who was proven in battle, but the little shepherd boy who spent many countless hours singing songs to the Lord, praying to the Lord, but more importantly, knowing the Lord's voice. I believe that when God spoke, it was the same as you and I speaking now, because they were that intimate. Oh, that we could be that way again. You know what's great about it? We can if we choose to. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine?" And what's he say? "Because I want all the gifts." No, it had nothing to do with that. That's not what he said at all. "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now see, he was upset that these men of God, these armies of God, forgot who it was they served. It wasn't about Israel. It was about who Israel represented. So my thought today, especially to these graduates, who do you represent? When you leave here and you go to whether it's a job, whether it's college, or whether it's an adventure, who do you represent? David was upset that the armies of the Most High God cowered down like scared dogs because they forgot who they represented. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now, folks, I want to tell you something. When you step out and you start doing what God has called you to do, mark my words, you will come up against other people. Because perhaps they were supposed to do it, and they refused. Well, if you do it, now they're going to start feeling guilty because they cowered down and failed to do it. And what happens over here in verse 28? Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Now, do you really think that he was concerned about the sheep? No. He was upset with his little brother calling him out. Because his little brother was questioning, "What are y'all doing? I know your pride," his brother said, "and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." So basically, he's calling him out. He's saying, "You're irresponsible. You just left the sheep. Nobody's watching them. And you did it just so you could come down here and watch us fight." It was because David was questioning the army and how they were acting. When you start to do something for God, there are going to be those around you who will question, are you sure that's God? Well, now hold on. Why would God tell you to do that? That doesn't make any sense. Well, when we think back through the Bible, how many times have you heard where God told someone to do something and it didn't make a lick of sense? But when the people did it, what happened? God moved. Whether that was to take your mantle and stretch it out and touch the water and the water split. Whether that was to take your hands and spread them apart and call upon the name of God and He splits the Red Sea wide open so that you walk across on dry ground. It doesn't matter. If God tells you to do it and you know it's God, do it. But be aware that there will be those around you who will put you down and belittle you because they probably were told to do it first. And they're going to get angry because they didn't, but you did. That's courage. And you need courage in this world that we live in. God's looking for a few courageous people to stand up and say, choose me, Lord, I'll go. But I want you to look at verse 29. And David said, what have I done now? But here's the best part. Is there not a cause? Do I not have a reason? Do you not see that Philistine over there defying the armies of God? Am I not justified? Do you not see him? Is there not a cause for me to act this way? Is there not a cause for me to ask these questions? David didn't do it for glory. David didn't do it to belittle the armies. They already took that off the Philistine. David did it because they forgot who they were. He wanted them to remember. And even when Big Brother put him in his place, he had to remind Big Brother that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Because if he were, he would have been the first one out there to fight that battle. But he, like all the others in that army, they feared. They feared. And then in verse 30, then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Then when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. All right, you saw the little bitty guys up here today. Are you going to send them to go out and fight against a high schooler? Most of them would be like, well, no, that's just crazy. Really? What if God told them to? What if God told them to? You know what? Our fleshly eyes say, they get killed. But if God told them to, they don't stand a chance. These guys do. Why? Because it's all about who is directing your path. Who is leading you. This is not just for the graduates, folks. This is for each and every one of us. Who's leading us? Who's guiding us? Now, we know the rest of the story. King Saul tried to tell him, David, you're just a wee lad. You can't do this. And David insisted because he had faith in God. I love verse 34. The king's trying to tell him, you don't stand a chance. But David's like, hold on. Let me remind you of something. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go. Now we know the story. Saul wanted to put his armor on this little man. Could you imagine that? I'll bet that was quite the sight. Put on all this armor and there's David trying to walk. Finally, he got smart. He said, I don't need this. I've got the Lord God. That's not what I need. I think it is so amazing when you hear the scientific explanation of how David could defeat the giant. Well, because of his size and because of the way he grew in such a dimension at that time, it was unheard of. So his pituitary gland was out of whack. And because of that, he had bad eyesight. I don't care about all that. Where did the rock hit him at? Right between the running lights. Right in the forehead. Did he stumble and stagger? No, he fell. Why? Because a little shepherd boy said, guess what? I got one up here who is directing me, and I'm good to go. You know how I know that? Because he just spoke to me. You know how I know that? Because I know his voice. I talk to him every day. I talk to him every night. I talk to him all day. And I know his voice, and he knows mine. And he says, we're not going to have this Philistine talking like this anymore. So we are going to go out and do battle. And we are going to make a difference. I want to tell you something. Are we making a difference? You almost hit on it. I thought you was going to preach my sermon for a second. When you come in this church, when you go to any church, and you come in here and you sit through a service, when you leave, are you changed in any way? Is there any difference in your life? Folks, I'm going to be the first one to tell you. I've come to services. It has nothing to do with the preaching. It has to do with me. I've come here, listened to the sermons. Mm-hmm. Good sermon. Walked out no different. Was it pastor? Pastor didn't do his job. I beg to differ with you. He did exactly what God called him to do. But maybe Tim's mind was elsewhere. Folks, I want to tell you, we all have to realize that we live in some pretty perilous times now. The young people, the ones who believe in Christ, they are fearless. And that's what we need. But they also need to see the adults in their lives being just as fearless. That when God says, you can pray for the sick and they'll be healed, that we say, well, you know, let's anoint them with oil and maybe they'll be healed. Is that what it says? Maybe? I believe we have got to get our bodies and minds and spirit in line with God's Word. And the only way we can do that is to spend time with God. Isn't it amazing? And I speak from experience here. Isn't it amazing how the things of this world have a tendency to weigh us down and pull us away from God? Because the more we get away from the God, the easier it is to doubt His Word. You tell me one thing. When has God ever let you down? When has God told you in His Word that He would do something and He didn't do it? Nobody? You know what? Every time God has told me he's going to do something, he does it. Now, if God tells you to do something, and you turn into a little David on him, and you go, okay, well, I want you to go out there and I want you to chew the tire off of that truck. Okay. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? I have no clue why you'd want to do that. But if God does it and you know it's God, you better get to chewing. It sounds silly, but the point is this. There's a reason for whatever it is. I've told you before, down there at Burksville, the church down there, that in a service, a man went to the front of the church. He said, spoke to the pastor first to get the okay to do it. He says, I know this sounds silly, but God is telling me to do cartwheels across from this church. What? Are you sure? Absolutely, Pastor. Absolutely sure. He said, then you better do it. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? Would you do it? I don't know that I could. I think that would be the most ludicrous thing. Guess what? There was a man in that service that said, God, if you're real, then you have somebody go do cartwheels at the front of this church and I'll give my life to you. When that man started doing cartwheels, that man ran to the altar. He ran to the altar. It happened. It happened, and a man gave his life. Does God always answer these crazy requests? Not always. Because God may have already proved himself 10, 15, 20 times before, and that person's heart is still hardened. And God says, I'm done with you. If you don't believe me by now, I'm done. That's not for me to decide. That's God. I ask the question, in your daily life, the things that you do, the encounters you have with other people, how you act and how you react, are they godly? You say, well, I'm just out there trying to support my family. I got bills to pay. I got things that I have to get done. You know what? I understand that. I'm in the same boat. And it's so easy for me to suddenly stop and go, man, God, you feel so far away, but I know it's not you, it's me. I did it again. I let the cares of this world drag me away from you again. And you know what? It can be some of the stupidest things. Whether it's taking care of chores around the house, whether it's your job, whether it's someone always calling, and you're thinking, man, I just wish they'd leave me alone. Oh, you all never feel that way when somebody calls you. Don't lie to me. We all have that person who calls and you go, look at caller ID, them again. Well, you know what? If they drive by your house and see you're there and then you get the call, it's kind of hard for you to say, well, I won't answer it again. No. Oh, they saw me. I better answer it. But the fact is, we all have those things that drag us down. But they don't drag you down when you're filled up with Christ. When you're truly sold out to the Lord and you're truly seeking Him. You say, well, I know, but I have so much to do. But let me ask you a question. Like David, is there not a cause for what we do on this earth, the limited days that we have? Is there not a cause? Do we not have a reason to be here? Is it to work? Yes, God wants us to work. There are too many scriptures that refute the idea that, hey, let's just become a welfare state. Everybody gets some money. Won't work. There's too many scriptures that say if you're able to work, you should work. We're not going to get into that. But the point is, we are here for a purpose, and that is to make a difference in this world that we live in. How can we do that? By following the leading of the Holy Spirit, by seeking God out. I saw something on the news the other night about a young girl who has cystic fibrosis. She had it from an early age. And she decided that she was not going to let it stop her, that she was going to start a foundation to help young people who have this disease. And the way that she's combating the severity of the disease is by swimming. Plus, she goes through treatments as well. But she's a role model for all those who had this. And she's like 16 or 17 years old now. But she started this thing way back. Why? Because she had the faith that she could do it. Why? Because of the fact that she saw a need and she felt like she needed to meet it. We as Christians should be looking for that cause, the one that God tells us. And we should meet that need. You say, well, yeah, I understand that. But you don't know how busy I am now. Folks, I want to tell you something. My problem is I get so busy that nothing gets accomplished. And isn't it amazing the things that you do and you look back on them later on when your life is a little more organized and you go, gosh, I wasted so much time doing that and I didn't even need to. And when we try to do things within ourselves, we're going to fail. And we're going to become frustrated and we're going to become angry. And it's all because God didn't want us doing it in the first place. But if we say, Lord, direct my paths. Show me what you would have me to do. Is there not a cause? Folks, I want to tell you something. There are people right here in the local community that are hungry. They don't eat regular meals. That in itself, is there not a cause? There are those in the nursing homes whose families don't ever come to visit. Is there not a cause? There are young people who has a working parent, and the second part of that family equation, whether it be the mother or the father, is out of the picture. They're a single-parent family. And that parent usually has to work. So there's no parental influence there. Is there not a cause? God has given us all special talents and special abilities. And He's given us all creative nature, that we can use it for His glory. If only we say, Lord, you made me the way I am. What would you have me to do? What is my cause, Lord? What is my cause? These young people are facing some pretty difficult times ahead. They really are, especially when they go to these colleges, even the so-called Christian colleges now. When they go to these colleges and they actually have to sit in a classroom full of, whether they're agnostic or atheist or just don't know what they are, other students who basically inform them that you're stupid if you believe in God. Religion is dead. What's wrong with you? And that's when that child has to stand up on what they have learned from us and what they have learned through a relationship with Jesus Christ and say, you know what? You believe what you want, but I know who God is, and He's still alive. Or maybe as an adult, maybe it's us, and we have to stand up against that person who likes to shout out the Lord's name, profane the Lord's name. Maybe it's us that we have to stand there and say, hold it, time out. I understand to you that name means nothing, but to me it means everything. And I'm asking you, please don't use that phrase again. Now, guess what? In many cases, they will continue just to get under your skin. But you know what I found? I talked to a man who had to deal with this very situation when he worked at one of the factories in Louisville. And he said, you know what? I figured out a way around that. When the guy started using the Lord's name in vain, he said, I just simply broke out in prayer. Lord, help him, because he doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't want to go to hell, Lord. Please help this man so that he'll quit sinning against you, so he'll quit blaspheming your name. Lord, I ask you, what are you going to do? The man stopped because he got tired of this man praying for him every day. God loves us, but He has a path. He has a cause that each and every one of us can be involved in. And guess what? You can't be in my cause unless God's called you to it. I can't be in your cause unless God has called me to it. But whatever that path is, we need to understand there is a need for godly people in this country now more than ever before. These young people, folks, we need to pray for them daily because they need it more than ever. I pray that as society becomes more and more calloused, that we don't lose our compassion for people. I'm in a job where every day I see some of the worst as far as people who are simply looking for a handout. And you begin to lose your compassion. You begin to say, how about this? Try a J-O-B. But you know what? God, every once in a while, kind of, as Ricardo said, kind of swats me on the bottom and says, listen, boy, they're still my child. They may not know me now. They may not know what's right, but they're still mine. Have you told them about me? What do? You go back and you hide behind the rock. Just like the armies of Israel. No, Lord, I haven't. Okay? See, many times we're quick to judge other people when we don't know the whole circumstance. But we can't lose our compassion for them. We can't lose our compassion for the elderly. We can't lose our compassion for the children who are in a single-parent home who are basically living on their own. We can't lose our compassion for anyone. Because that could be us. But the only way that we can have that compassion is if the love of Christ is in us. And the only way we can have the love of Christ in us is through a right relationship with Christ ourselves. That's prayer. That's fasting. And you know what, folks? I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I broke a fast a long time ago. Not because God told me to, but because I wanted to. And I have found that so difficult to do ever since then. You gain strength when you deny the flesh. There's no doubt about that. You deny that flesh, and it's going to scream. You're going to get headaches. You're going to feel nauseous. You try to do something for God like that, and I want to tell you something. The first couple days, you're going to think you've gone to hell. But when you say, no matter what, this is for my relationship with God, and I will deny this flesh because I want a right relationship with God. And when you get through that fast, you're going to know where you've been. That's something you don't hear much about anymore, is fasting and prayer. I don't even see. Lydie was talking about it earlier. Ever since they all got together and started praying for pastor, praying for the church, what happened? Pastors come under attack. Folks, don't misunderstand. You can expect it. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Well, I want to tell you something. Our pastors are under attack. And we have to constantly bathe them in prayer. I'm not talking this 30-second, oh, Lord, help our pastors. Amen. Oh, Lord, just put your hedge of protection around them. Amen. Oh, Lord, there are shepherds. Just bless them, Lord. Amen. There's no compassion in that. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You come here to this church and you look for them to be here. And when they're not, something feels amiss. Something doesn't feel right. Why? Because this is their cause. This is what God has called them to do. So now, at this moment in time, there's a cause for us. And it is to lift up our pastors. And it is to get on our face and humble ourselves and deny ourselves. And say, you know what? I know it's dinner time, but this is more important. I'm going to pray for my pastors. I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to call on the Word of God, and we're going to believe it. And Lord, if I don't believe it, then help me with my unbelief. But I'm still calling you on your Word. And when we begin to get bold, as David did, get bold in the Word of God and believe that what He says, He means. And know that what He says, He means. Then, when we pray, we expect that person to be healed. So I ask you today, is there not a cause? Your pastor is laying in the hospital. Is there not a cause? Our young people are about to go out into the world with the wolves. Is there not a cause? Look around. There are many who are not here because of sickness. Is there not a cause? How many? How many in the church are out of work? They just can't find a job. Is there not a cause? Folks, I'm not here to tear you down. God's saying, you got it in you. You just need to stir it up. We've all got it in us. If you've ever had that right relationship with Christ, it's still there. You just have to fan those flames. You need to stir it back up, and you need to get back to where you need to be. And you know what, folks? There's probably nobody that needs it more than I do. When you leave here today, I ask you to keep one thing in mind. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for you personally? Say, well, Pastor, I come in and I do this for the church. Excellent. That's fantastic. Praise be to God. Is there not a cause, though? Right now, is there not a cause? Again, I'm going to focus on this as we close this service. I'm going to ask each one of us, first, where you are, just to close your eyes and ask God Almighty to forgive us our sins. Because when I go to God, I want to know that that plate has been cleaned. Because you know what? Every time He hands me a plate full of joy and encouragement and strength, I give Him back a dirty plate full of my junk that I've covered with sin. Whether that was judging someone, whether that was driving too fast, whether that was saying something that was wrong, whatever it was. But we serve a God who knows our failings, and He still loves us. So I ask you, dear Lord, Father in heaven, I ask you now, as we come before you, I ask you to forgive us our sins, Lord. You know each and every one of us. You number the hairs on our head. And you even know what our little pet sins are, those that we keep hidden. But there's no hiding it from you, Lord. I ask you, Father, help change us. Help us not to continue down this same road and then cry out, "Where's my God?" You're right where we left you. Father, forgive us of our sins. Help us to grow and be more like you. Help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to be on the path that you have placed us on, but that we keep veering off of. Help us to serve the cause that you have called us for. And right now, Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, I ask each one of us, right where you are, to pray for the health of our pastors. Pray for a miraculous move of God that their bodies will be touched. And you say, "Well, I thought it was just Pastor Jerry." I want to tell you, when Pastor Jerry hurts, Sister Laverne hurts. So we pray for the healing of both bodies, both spirits. We pray for that mighty move of God that your word says we can call upon. And we thank you for it. Just take a few moments, folks. I'm going to shut this microphone off, and I want you to just right where you are, pray for our pastors, because there is a cause. As we close out service, I'm going to leave you with one of the scriptures that Pastor Laverne had put in the bulletin. Joshua 1 and 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's my prayer that when you leave this place today, that there's something different about you. That something I have said, something that God has given me, has touched you enough that it's your desire to make a change, to draw closer to Him. Not because I'm anything, but God is everything, and it's all about Him. For those families who have graduates, there's going to be a time of fellowship in the meeting room back here, so please join us. You'll be blessed. Throughout the week, continue to pray for our pastors. When you think of them, give them a call. Don't wait. Because many times we'll get busy doing something else. And then by the time you remember, it's 10 o'clock at night. Don't call then. All right. If you don't want to disturb them, call Ricardo or Miriam. They'll let you know how they're doing. Okay, come on.
Mom had just called me. They took Dad Dan down this morning, did a colonoscopy, check out his colon and everything. They did determine that that's his issue that's causing him to be so sick. So they are going to be doing surgery on Tuesday. We don't know exactly what all they're going to do. We're going to find out more tomorrow. But please just, like he said, lift him up in your prayers. Mom's on Facebook. If you're not friends with New Life, you can just click Be Friends with New Life, and you can send her a message or send it to her personal ones, but she loves to get the encouragement and everything. Like I said, we don't know all the details yet, but just as soon as we do, we'll let everybody know.
Folks, God bless you for coming today. Again, if you can join us in the gathering room, please do. We thank you. I pray that when you leave this place throughout the week, that you'll look and ask God, what is your cause? There's always a cause. Make sure it's the one He wants you to be in. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.